Amen. Shall we say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Certainly, Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John chapter 3, verse 14. Very, very powerful message from Christ. I want to thank so much the elders, as always, for inviting me to be here to worship with you and to present the message from God. I'm always humbled to stand before you here at Stone Island. I recognize that it's an awesome responsibility that you could have chosen to be somewhere else, but you have decided to be here this morning, and I take that very seriously. And because of that, I intend to present the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And may God be praised in the meantime. I want to thank so much the visitors who are here this morning. I pray that your hearts have been encouraged so far, and for the remainder of our service, that your hearts will be lifted up, and that you'll be drawn closer to a decision to serve Jesus Christ if you have not yet done so. But this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we are obligated to rejoice and be glad in it. And make sure that as we worship God, we give him nothing but our best. For indeed, God has given us nothing but his best when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. I want to thank the brother for reading the passage from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 16, which will form the basis of my lesson this morning. I would encourage you also to have your pens and your papers on hand, as you will need to take down these scriptures as they are given. For my intention is to come from no other book but the Bible. And therefore, it's important that you have the information written down so that you can verify and substantiate all that is said from the pulpit this morning. Please, if you will, bow your heads with me as we seek God's guidance. Let us pray. Father, I stand here this morning recognizing that it's a really awesome responsibility that you have placed on my shoulders to present your word. Father, I pray that you will guide my heart and guide my lips so that everything that proceeds from my mouth, Father, will be according to your word. Father, hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ so that Christ may be lifted up and not me. For I am merely the messenger, but Father, help us to focus on the message, which is about Jesus Christ, who we serve. Father, bless us this morning. May every heart be encouraged as we go into the book, the holy book. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Memories. What would you do if your memory were to be gone completely? Have you ever thought about that? Your ability to remember things. Just imagine if you were to wake up one day and you have no memory whatsoever. You would be completely immobilized, and because then you don't know how to walk, you don't remember how to eat, you don't even remember your wife or your husband or your kids. If your memory is taken from you, you'd be almost like a vegetable, because we rely on our memory to live on a daily basis. And when you think about it, all of us have certain things that bring back memories. You know, a certain smell can bring back memories of a certain incident or a certain person. A certain place or a certain song sometimes can remind you of home. Or remind you of childhood, because that's how important our memories are. So what if our memory were to be taken from us? And you think of those who suffer from dementia, those who suffer from Alzheimer's disease. It must be a most difficult life to be lived. And there are many circumstances in which these persons who suffer from these diseases will leave home and can't find themselves back home. They are just lost. That's how important our memories are. And so this morning, as we look at this lesson entitled, The Way We Were, I want us to remember the passage that the brother read. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Here we find Jeremiah prophesying to the Jews, to the tribe of Judah, that God was going to punish them because they had been involved in corruption, they had been involved in apostasy, they had been involved in oppression, they had been involved in idolatry, and God was displeased with them. And God said, I will use the Babylonians, and the Babylonians will come in and invade your land, and they will take you captives. And Saul said, so done. So the Babylonians came, and they captured the Jews and had them for 70 years in Babylon. Now the Jews, while they were in Babylon, the Bible tells us in Psalm 137 and verse 1, while they were in Babylon, the Jews began to remember how good life was back in their homeland. In verse 1 of Psalm 37, verse 1, the Bible says that they began to remember, saying, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remember Zion. In other words, they began to weep because life in Babylon was hard, but they remembered how good life was back in their homeland. Our lives heavily depend on our ability to remember. And so what I want us to do this morning is to sort of remember certain things. I want us to remember the Church of Jesus Christ, how it was back in the first century. Go back and look at the scriptures and remember how the Church of Christ was compared to what it is today. You know, it was Barbara Streisand that sang the song, I think, back in the 70s, The Way We Were. Memories, remember that one? Memories. So I want us to try and use the scriptures to remember how the church was then in the first century, and we compare that with the church in the 21st century. So let us journey in this lesson entitled The Way We Were. First of all, when we look at the plan of salvation, look at how it was. Look at how it was back in the first century. Everyone became a member by obeying the simple plan of salvation. There was no embellishment. There was nothing added except what was given by Jesus Christ through the apostles. Everyone knew that merely believing in God could not save them. They knew that because James chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. So they knew that merely believing in God was not sufficient. That's how we were. We knew that. But that's not how it is today. That's not how it is today. When Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and questioned him about this new birth idea, Jesus Christ emphasized in John chapter 3 verse 5, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, that except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus Christ taught him the doctrine of baptism. Very clear. When Peter was asked on the day of Pentecost by the crowd, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In other words, they knew that to become a child of God, one needed to believe in God, repent of his sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then be baptized in water to have their sins remitted. That's how we were. But what has happened in the 21st century? That's not how we are today. In many parts of the brotherhood and in the land of religion, that's not how it is being done. How it was is that a man needed to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. In other words, the gospel plan of salvation was simple and biblical. That's how we were. Brothers and sisters, what has happened? Because that's not how we are today. It is not. In today's world, one just needs to profess that he is a religious person and he's seen as a brother or a sister. In today's world, my friend, One needs only to say that he's a member of some religious group and he's extended the right hand of fellowship. But that's not how we were. It was not. Today, to become a Christian depends on which church you attend. What you are told to do depends on where you go in many churches. What a sad commentary. I am saying that's not how we were as the church of Christ. It was clear, it was simple, and it was biblical then. But that's not how it is today. Baptism is given a new meaning today. In other words, a man gets baptized today because he's already saved. So if you're saved, then you can get baptized. That's what is taught in many churches today. So baptism is not for the remission of your sins. Baptism is because your sins have been remitted. That is what is being taught in many parts of our world today. But that's not how we were. That's not how we were, brethren. If what you're hearing today is new, then it's not true. If it is true, then it's not new, because the Bible has already taught it. So be careful about those things that you're hearing. Be careful. How we were. The way we were, secondly, regarding worship. Worship, secondly, was all about God. It was centered around God, not around somebody, but around God. That's how worship was. There was a time when worship was clear, it was simple, it was without all of these additions. Because the problem is, brothers and sisters and friends, people just don't like the simple stuff. When last have you seen someone with a simple cell phone? I mean, you see someone with a flip phone, you wonder if something is wrong. But that's how we are. That's how we are. We like the better. We like the embellishment. We like the additions. And that's okay. But when we allow that to seep into worship, that's a problem. The way we were. When we go back to the scriptures, we find that worship was all about God. Everybody knew who was being worshipped. Everybody knew. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and look at verse 29. When David brought back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and they began to worship God, look at what he said. In verse 29 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, "Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In other words, David is saying, listen, what we are doing is all about the Lord. When a man walks into the worship service, it ought to be clear to him who is being glorified. It must be clear. As a matter of fact, though, you know that in many instances, you get a clear impression that it is not God who is being elevated, but some man that is being elevated. Everybody comes to hear a man and they give him all the glory and praise. Well, what about God? Because worship is about God. It says, give to the Lord the glory due to him. That is what worship is about. That's how we were, brethren. But is that how we are in religion today? Sadly, no. Sadly, no. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, Acts 2 verse 47, the Bible says, "And praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Notice who was being praised. Praising God, not man. Make sure that wherever you go to worship, that God is the one who is being worshipped and not man. That's how we were. That is how we were. Christians worship God on his terms, not on our terms. We worship God based on what he has stipulated, not what we want, not what pleases us, but what pleases the Almighty God. And so Jesus Christ gave a stern warning in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. He says, "And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." In other words, when we are teaching doctrines based on what man has concocted, Jesus says you're worshiping God in vain. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all by the authority of, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Whatever we do, it must be what he has authorized. But when worshipers become anything but what Jesus Christ has authorized, then it is wrong. It is wrong. The central message about worship must be clear. For many churches, the pulpit has become a platform to promote some politician. It has become a platform to promote some ego. But the platform, the pulpit, has always been about promoting Christ and him crucified. That's how we were. The pulpit must never be used as a platform to be vindictive and get back at somebody. It must be used to preach the word and the word of God only. But that's not what is being done today in religion. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul made it clear. He said, "Listen, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." What a transformation, what a radical change it will be when our worship service in the brotherhood and in religion becomes all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a change that will be. What is happening today is not how we were as the church of Jesus Christ. I don't know, many of us would be surprised, but I'll say this. It's happening even in the brotherhood, that there are churches that have forgotten how the church of Christ was, how it was back in the first century. And so there are many changes that have taken place in many of our congregations. Remember how we were. Remember that worship is about God himself. But today worship is a place where religious leaders are elevated instead of Christ. Remember we talked about it earlier on. Jesus Christ says, "If I be lifted up." However, we have spent more time lifting up leaders or some prominent member other than Jesus Christ. That's not how we were. Christ was the central figure of worship. But we elevate everybody else except Christ. Worship has become a place to be entertained. That is why some folks will leave and say, "Well, I didn't get anything out of it." Because it seems as if they came to be entertained. You know, you go and watch a movie and sometimes you leave disappointed because the movie did not live up to its billing. When you come to worship God, understand that it is not about you. It is about God himself. We are pleased when we do what God says. That's how we were. That's how we were, brethren. And we have got to always ask ourselves the question, am I here this morning to be entertained? Do I want to be entertained? Because worship has become just that. Worship has become a place where it's a money-making event in many parts of the world. As a matter of fact, some churches will make sure that you don't forget to give by placing an ATM in the foyer. Did you know that? Yes, they put an ATM in the foyer. Just to make sure that in case you forgot, you can go and withdraw the cash in the foyer and come back. Now, that may be okay in one sense, but what I'm saying is that worship must never be seen as if it's all about money. There are churches that will tell you how much you must give. And if you can write a good check, then your place is where the prominent sits. We have got to be careful because that's not how we were, brethren. That's not how we were. Worship was never, ever about money. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we must give as we have been prospered. But you better not go to some worship service, because if you don't have it, you stay away from it. Worship in many parts of the world, even in the Brotherhood, has become a place where preachers have to be walking on eggshells lest they offend anybody with the message. Because there are folks who are so thin-skinned and fickle that preachers have to almost massage them with the word rather than present the message. So they get a message, a massage, instead of a message. There are folks who will get up and leave the worship service if something is said and they didn't like it. That's okay. But when it's the word of God, you must listen to it, because it is not what you want, it is what you need. That's how we were. That's how we were. But that's not what is happening today. And in many parts of the world, in many churches, preachers have got to be very careful and make sure that they say things that will sort of make people feel good, because they don't want to offend anyone. That's not how we were. When you go back to the scriptures, look at how we were. In 2 Timothy, quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul wrote that letter to the young man Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Listen what he said to Timothy. Timothy, when you get up on that pulpit, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Timothy, I want you to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap up for themselves teachers because of itching ears. And then he says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What makes you feel good? Is it the truth, or is it something that does tickle your ears? It may not be true, but it tickles your ears. Why are you here? Are you here to hear the word of God, or are you here to be tickled? That's not how we were, brethren. That's not how we were. And the scriptures are very clear where that is concerned. Just not how we were. And thirdly this morning, thirdly, there was a time when fellowship, the fellowship of the church, was exclusive and not inclusive. Allow me to explain. When we talk about fellowship, I'm not talking about your dinner fellowship, when you meet in the hall and you have dinner. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fellowship of Christians. When anyone becomes a member of the church, he becomes a part of the fellowship of the church. Did you know that? The word fellowship from the Greek means a sharing, having things in common. That's fellowship. And there was a time when if anyone was ever going to become a part of the fellowship, he had to obey the plan of salvation. Nobody could walk from one denomination right into the church of Jesus Christ. Nobody could do that, because he had to go through the same plan of salvation like everybody else to get into the fellowship. It was exclusively for those who had obeyed the gospel plan of salvation. It did not include folks from denominations. It did not include those who are not Christians. Everybody can become a part of the fellowship, but they must obey the plan of salvation. That's how we were. That is how we were. When we talk about fellowship, I know that all of us here as Christians, we don't all have the same faith. We don't all have the same degree of belief in doctrine. Some of us are still a little weak. Some of us are much stronger. But hear this. We must, to be a part of the fellowship, we must have the same hope of heaven. We must have the same respect for God's word. We must have the same hatred for sin. We must have the same hatred for false teaching. We must have the same enemies that we're fighting against. We must be a part of the same church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. And we must practice the same simple New Testament Christianity. That's how we were. But sadly speaking, that's not how we are today. It's not how we are. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible tells us that when those folks were baptized, you know what they did? The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they didn't just become Christians. They knew that for them to be faithful, they had to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's how we were, brethren. We talk about the church of Jesus Christ. That's how we were. Go back 2,000 years and allow your memory to look at those scriptures and remind you of how the church of Christ was. And we must be vigilant to make sure that how we were is how we are today. We must be vigilant. There was a time when fellowship with brothers and sisters was on the basis that the person becomes a Christian. That's how we were. However, today, fellowship is done by any means necessary. Do you want to have a large crowd? Well, just open your doors and say, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what you believe. We will still extend to you the right hand of fellowship. For regardless of what you believe, you can still be a part of our fellowship if you want to expand. But that's not how the church was. That's not what they did. Fellowship. Many folks are told that they just need to come and place membership. One just needs to be a member of a denomination, and then he is referred to as a brother or a sister. Be careful, friends. Not because somebody is a religious person, he is your brother or your sister. Your brother or your sister, based on the scriptures, spiritually speaking, are those who have obeyed the plan of salvation, just as you have. Now, if you're going to call a man a brother, and it has nothing to do with spirituality, fine. Because we use the term to refer to folks outside. Hey, brother, how are you doing? Hi, sister. Fine, that's fine. But from a spiritual perspective, you make sure that everybody understands that your brother or your sister are those who are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. That's how we were. That's how we were. But sadly speaking, our yearning for something different and something better has caused many of us to look for something with additions. And we have abandoned simple New Testament Christianity. It's too simple. It's too simple. In some churches, fellowship is about swapping pulpits. Did you know that? That a preacher from a denomination, he comes this Sunday and he preaches here, and Brother Carter goes and preaches at his church. So that's what we call swapping pulpits. That is happening today, even in the brotherhood. Swapping pulpits. Now you tell me, where in the scriptures has it taught us that we can swap pulpits even with those who do not believe the simple New Testament Christianity? Where? Because that's not how we were. And I know that we want to be seen as very sociable. And because of that, we have extended this hand even to folks of denominations. And we say to them, well, regardless of what you believe, you can still be a part of us. Not so. That's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not how we were. Go back and remember how the Church of Christ was. In some instances, there are joint worship services even with denominations. Sometimes a denominational preacher comes in town and is having a mass meeting. And guess what? Even members of the church sees it as okay to go and be a part of it. Because as long as it is under the umbrella of religion, it must be right. We could never be more deceived. Could never be more deceived. That's not how we were, brethren. Certainly not. You know, Amos asked a question in reference to God. You know, the Israelites were doing one thing from what God had asked them to do. And so Amos asked the question, can two walk unless they agree? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. No man can walk with God unless that man is willing to do what God says. So can two walk unless they agree? Oh, absolutely not. Can two worship unless they both agree? No. We can't worship God unless we are on the same biblical page. Because that's not how we were. It's not how we were. How can there be fellowship with those who believe that baptism is not necessary for salvation? How can there be fellowship with those who believe that one church is just as good as another? How can there be fellowship with those who believe that once you're saved, you will always be saved? How can there be fellowship? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said to the Christians there, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. "That you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's the word of God. So unless we are willing to get on the same page, we are not ready to serve God yet. Because that's not how we were. It's not how we were. And I want us to understand the same passage that the brother read from Jeremiah. It's one thing to stand and ask for the old paths and see the good way. We must see it, yes, but we must walk in it. Don't only recognize what is right, do what is right. Preach, I hear you, I know what I need to do. Well, do what needs to be done. Because that's not how we were. As I close, I challenge you to continue on your path of restoring New Testament Christianity. Don't stop. You may not be popular, but we're not in a popularity contest. Some folks will not like it. Some folks will call you archaic and antique and old. Well, let them do that. Because the Word of God tells us that when we do what He says, He is pleased. And our mission is to please God, not man. Because that's what we ought to do. It is not enough to remember how we were, though. I'm not here this morning just to remind you as to how good the Church of Christ was. That's not my mission. I'm not here to tell you how we were merely. I'm here to tell you that based on how we were, we must now look at reliving the devotion and the dedication of these Christians back in the first century. In some churches, evangelism is non-existent. It's a thing of the past. It has become obsolete because it offends some people to tell them to teach others the gospel. That's not how we were. It's not how we were. Paul was the kind of man who, if you gave him an opportunity, he's going to use it to teach the gospel. He was evangelistic. Sadly, though, that a dying thing in the church is evangelism. It's dying. And oftentimes we wait until folks come and beat down our doors. "Please, I need to be studied with." Doesn't always happen, does it? That's not how we were. And I'm saying that all of what I've said, we cannot relive New Testament Christianity unless it is done through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Because if we try anything else, we are going to fail and fail miserably. We're going to fail. Remember how we were and begin to walk that kind of life, live that kind of life. Be undaunted, because if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the scriptures say. And so maybe this morning, as a member of the body of Christ, maybe you have felt the tugging by some denominations to begin to look for something new and different, something that looks more attractive. Maybe the music gets you into the mood and that kind of stuff, and you're being tugged, you're being pulled in that direction. I hope I have shown you this morning because that's not how we were, and that you will stick with the Bible, with the New Testament way of worship. Because that's the only way you can please God. And if you're here this morning as a member of the church and you feel that your faith is not as strong as it needs to be, because you're wavering, should I stay or should I go? I pray that you will seek the prayers of the brethren and implement the things that I have said and go back and remind yourself as to how we were as a church. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, what a wonderful thing that you are here this morning. There's no better place to be here than to be than here this morning, to hear the message and to know how you can become a Christian. No, I'm not going to tell you that you can just sit where you are and say after me the sinner's prayer. I'm not going to say that. You know why? Because that's not how we were. That's not how we were. I will tell you how we were. We were the kind of church that will tell you that to become a child of God, you must believe in the message. Mark 16 and verse 16 says that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's how we were. So that's what I will tell you, that you must believe the word of God. You have got to repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13 verse 3. You can't be saved unless you're willing to change, to make that decision to change. An alcoholic cannot change from his addiction until he first comes to that understanding that he needs a change. And you must understand that you need a change spiritually. That's repentance. And you must confess Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 tell us that. And then you must be baptized in water. You cannot complete the salvation process unless you are baptized in water. Because it is then and only then that the blood of Jesus Christ affects your spiritual life. So this song is going to be sung momentarily. We're going to sing the invitation song. And if there's someone who wants to become a child of God, the Bible way, this is the time. As we stand and sing that song of encouragement.
353. 353.